Hello. I just thought I'd say, before this podcast kicks off, that this one was recorded in a Land Rover Defender. Now, I've been umming and ahhing over whether to release this particular podcast because the sound quality isn't great. It's pretty tricky to microphone up a Land Rover Defender. It turns out they're kind of noisy. And also, in the miking up that I've done, you can hear me breathing quite a lot. But I don't get an awful lot of time. And having gone to the effort of recording it, I thought I'd release it. So please, please forgive me for the slightly dubious sound quality, the sound of me battling it out with a couple of tons of British metalwork, but on the whole, hopefully, an interesting podcast. Enjoy. So as you may have gathered, today I'm recording the podcast from the mobile studio that is my Land Rover Defender. I'm Paul Wilkinson, and this is the Mastering Portrait Photography Podcast. So hello, one and all. This is going to be one of those podcasts, I'm afraid. It's going to be a little bit loud. But it's been such a busy week, I haven't managed to find an hour or two to sit down and record this week's musings. And so I thought I'd take the opportunity of a journey that I have to make to record one. As like I said, it's been a bit of a busy week, if I'm honest about it, and I do try to be very honest on this podcast. I'm utterly exhausted. There's no getting around it. There are days when you would happily not pick up a camera for a while. I'm absolutely shattered. We've been flat out all week and we've got another couple of weeks ahead of us. We've had 9 shoots, all portraits this week, which has been good fun. Bus just coming past. That's a big bus and a small gap. There you go. We have had 9 shoots, just amazing. Been a brilliant week from that point of view. But when you do, you know, for me, I don't do that many shoots. Each shoot is about 2 to 3 hours long. And so 9 shoots pretty much takes it out of me, particularly as one of them was in the Houses of Parliament in London. Also had 4 reveals. They've all gone really well. People loving their pictures. And you need the reveals. It's lovely at the moment, although we're a little bit short-handed in the studio. What's really nice is that myself and Sarah are really close to the clients again, which when you do the reveals, they're the bit that are the reward for your work. I hear a lot of stuff about photography and how you need to feel positive, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today. But one element of that is the client's reaction to your pictures. And of course, with myself and Sarah now doing the reveals hands-on much more than we used to, that's just magical because you get to see and hear the client's feedback, which is lovely. A couple of really good meetings. Monday night was great. Went to see the Arctic Monkeys in the O2 in London. If you're not aware, the Arctic Monkeys are essentially a rock band from Sheffield. Brilliant night. But of course, as with all of these things, it was a late night. So we got back at, one-ish. Must have been about 1 o'clock. Eventually got to sleep at about 1:45. And unfortunately, I had an early morning train to catch the next day to go and photograph or create some pictures in the Houses of Parliament in London. And so I had to be on a 6 a.m. train, so I was up at 5. And it is one of those where you really are digging deep for the adrenaline. I did it, but of course, I absolutely crashed come Tuesday afternoon. I was pretty much on my knees, and that really has set the tone for the rest of this week. Right now, I'm driving to go and get a haircut. And I don't know if I've told you this story, but I'm going to tell you a story about a client who is a... I'm going to tell you a story about a client who is also the person who's about to cut my hair. Her name is Kat, or Catherine, and I first met her. So this is... Let's wind the clock back 12 years. And you'll know from things I've said before that retention has been at the heart of this business right from the beginning. Far more than client acquisition, far more than any other factor you can name. We've always strived to keep our clients. Why? Well, as every marketing book will tell you, the cost of acquisition is far higher than the cost of retention. It costs you more, both emotionally and financially, to find new clients than it does to keep the clients you already have. So we do everything in our power to hold on to our clients. And this particular client I've had for, I think, 12 years or so. Even she came to me even before we were full time. Now, this is going back to when I was just beginning really the business. I had no real portfolios. I had some portfolios of portraits, but not weddings. And this is a wedding client. So we went to a wedding fair. It's my, I think I've done three wedding fairs in my entire life. And this was the first. It was in an abbey in a little town just up the road. Beautiful location, but we were in a little back room and we had pretty much a torrid time of it. Now, we won a load of clients, so it wasn't so bad, except for the fact that in here there were two other suppliers. There must have been half a dozen in each room, but there were two that stick in my mind. One who actually became a good friend of ours, who was a videographer. However, that said videographer had a loop that had Robbie Williams' Angels playing on it over and over. And I'm assuming, in an effort to avoid having to go over whatever royalty thresholds you go over, this was a, it must have been a 1 minute, maybe a 40 second loop. And so we listened to the same bit of Robbie's Angels all day. Now, that is fine for the brides and grooms, because of course they don't typically stay in the same place and hear it over and over. They all just hear a snippet of it and, oh, Robbie's Angels, let's go and have a look at the videographer. For myself and Sarah, on the other hand, I still can't listen to that flipping song without thinking of a small room in the back end of an abbey with that. And on the top of that, if that wasn't enough, there was also a chocolate fountain supplier. Now, I'm sure you're all aware of what a chocolate fountain is, but just for those who maybe have lived in a box for the past 10 years, a chocolate fountain is this tower of molten chocolate that pours down the side. It's got a pump in it and it just keeps cycling molten chocolate down this circular tower, and you dip things in it so that a bit of fruit that was once healthy, you dip it in chocolate. It is now not healthy because it's now covered in sweet, sticky, molten chocolate. Delicious, yes, but the smell of it. So the smell of it was there all day, and the smell of that combined with Robbie's 10 minutes of Angels. Well, I don't know why I did another wedding fair, to be honest, because I still can't stomach the smell of a chocolate fountain. Before this moment, I loved a chocolate fountain. After this moment, can't go near one, which is a real pain if one of my wedding clients does have one. They're not so common anymore. We used to see them all the time, but you don't see them so much. But of course, I just can't stand the smell of the chocolate. And that was the experience. Anyway, in the middle of this wedding fair, in comes this lady, I think with her mum. So this is the lady I'm gonna see now. She was young back then, I mean, she's still young now. She was in her 20s, I think, early 20s. She saw our work, she loved it, and she put a preliminary booking into my diary, rather. She was already getting married. And she said, please, could I come to the house? And I'll pitch for the work. So, okay, that's no problem. I'll come and meet her fiance. She had a baby as well. And so a week or so later, I drove up. And when I arrived, I kid you not, there was an entire kitchen on her front garden. And that would explain the lack of kitchen inside her house. And her husband-to-be had torn out the kitchen and was going to refit a new one. So I arrived, there's dust everywhere. There's the kitchen is in the garden. The baby is crying, wouldn't stop crying, and it turns out I'm allergic to whatever dust they had in the house, whether that was the dog or whether it was just dust, I've no idea. And I sat and I sneezed for about an hour. The dog chewed my leg for about an hour, and it was the oddest thing. At the end of the meeting, and I drove back, and Sarah, my wife, said, how did it go? And I said, well, I've no idea. I think she liked the pictures, but given I have just sneezed, streamed, and generally been uncomfortable for the past couple of hours, I'm not sure she's going to think of me as the kind of photographer that she would want at her wedding. Anyway, even during this meeting, she did say to me, and she's got a really sort of Essexy accent, Paul, she said, I love your pictures, I love them. You've got to come, I'm setting up a hair salon, and you have got to come and take the pictures. They're so classy, they're just so classy. And if she listens to this podcast, she'll kill me because that's not a great impression, but you get the gist. And as it happens, I won the pitch and I have been photographing her and her salon ever since. And it's one of the most exciting things I do because she's really adventurous with the photography. She really likes pushing the bounds. And she gives us the opportunity to take pictures that you don't always get the chance to do if you're a social photographer. If you're a fashion photographer, they're your bread and butter. But if you're a social photographer, they're not your norm. Yet when you do them, they're so exciting, they're so interesting to create these images. And of course they look great in your portfolio. And the thing about your portfolio is it's your shop window. And so I love working with her, and it's her I'm heading over to go and have my hair cut once more. And she's just lovely. One of these days I'll interview her and see what she makes of all of the same story. Anyway, on to the serious points of this week. So this week we ran a workshop, a training day, on behalf of a magazine, of Enphoto magazine, which is Nikon's, well, it's a magazine dedicated to Nikon, but it's not an official Nikon magazine. It's run by Future Publishing. A fantastic journalist turned up called Jason, who has the best hair. You know, some guys just turn up, they've got the best hair. It was shinier than the model's hair. And he said to it, you know, do you do anything to that? No, not at all. If you hear a clicking sound in the background, that's my windscreen wipers. Yes, this is England in September. And of course it's raining, so now I'm battling it through in a Land Rover. And if you know anything about a Land Rover, you'll know that the windscreen wipers are the poxiest, stupidest little things you've ever seen. They're like tiny little squeegees stuck on these flimsy little arms. It takes its entire effort. I don't know why, given that the Land Rover was invented in North Wales, where it habitually rains. I grew up in North Wales, so I can tell you this for a fact. It rains 364 and a half days of the year, and if it's not raining, it's foggy. And yet somehow they made the poxiest bit of the Land Rover Defender, the windscreen wipers. Anyway, where was it? Other work? Oh, hair. It has the shiniest, loveliest hair. How is it that some people have the nicest hair and do nothing with it? And yet, you know, the guys who come to the model, you know, she spent hours on her hair, but yet, no, the journalist's hair was nicer. Anyway, a wonderful day with a great delegate, attendee, call them what you will, who came sort of as a guest of the magazine. They're going to publish an article on what it's like, so I hope it's good. But she was lovely, really enthusiastic. She was the perfect person to have as a trainee. In the first thing I always do is I check their skill level, and we always teach manual control of your camera here. We always do it that way. Why? Well, because if you have manual control, auto becomes predictable. If you are always in auto, auto is not predictable. Auto is anything but predictable. But if you have manual control of your camera, you are in a position where when you do switch back to auto, if that's what you want to do, and then of course you have some knowledge of what's going on and you have control. And control is such a big part of creating a good photograph. Control of your subject, control of the light, and of course control of your camera. And this workshop, it was just the most exhilarating. I love doing workshops. And this Jody had already got manual knowledge. She already knew how to control her camera in manual mode. So of course I've got a much easier day of it. We're going to spend far less time talking about the intricacies of the exposure triangle, all that kind of guff, and we're going to talk much more about reading the light, reading somebody's body, reading the psychology of your client. A beautiful model, yes, okay, fair enough. I did hedge my bets a little bit and bring a beautiful, she's been a client of mine actually, but she's lovely, called Bryony. And I did that because it's such a confidence boost when you're learning that when you take these pictures, they just look stunning. Now, I know that's a cop-out because most of us don't get to photograph model-esque people every day. Most of us get to photograph most of us every day. And you know what we look like? We all look sort of, you know, how we are. And that's all good. But the reason that I chose to have a modeling is because, of course, it just boosts your confidence. And part of my job as a trainer is to give someone the tools, but most importantly, the confidence to create pictures. Because an awful lot of this, and I've spoken about this a lot, an awful lot of this game is a head game. It's about confidence. You know, creativity, instinct, heart, and confidence. And of course, all of it is just about your, how you feel on the day, whether you feel like you're going to take a great picture, whether you feel like you can get it out to someone. Anyway, we did. The shoot was absolutely beautiful. The model was great. The delegate, the trainee, was absolutely fantastic. And what a beautiful thing. Anyway, during this day, of course, lots of things popped up. And one of them was, this was me lamenting at the beginning, and I'm going to put this out there so that people kind of, the look of surprise on the people's face when I said this in the training room was quite remarkable. So I'm going to tell you the story, or tell you my feelings, is invariably, particularly with a long shoot, particularly with a shoot like a training day, is you have an incredible high all day. You're creating these beautiful images, you're laughing, somebody's coming on that journey with you, you're enjoying it. Every time you look at the back of the camera, it's another great image. And at the end, when everyone leaves and there's hugs and wah-wah, air kissing, as you close the door, you turn to whoever's left in the building, and, oh, do you think that was all right? Oh, I don't know, I'm not sure, I did that really well. Oh, I could have shown her this, or, oh dear, I really hope she's taken some stuff away. And that's the psychology for me of each and every shoot. I do not know whether this is common to everybody. I would be intrigued. Feel free to email in or drop comments in whichever podcaster platform you're listening to this on. I would love to hear from you. For me, I find it daunting to go into a shoot. I always have, I always will. I was a drummer for many years and I found the same thing then. I was always nervous going onto stage, and that's actually the adrenaline kicking in. I always knew it was going to be a terrible gig if I wasn't feeling nervous. In fact, it got to the stage where if I wasn't feeling nervous, I knew it was going to be a terrible gig. And because I knew I was going to be a terrible gig, then of course I got nervous. And by becoming nervous, the adrenaline kicked in again. And I think it is just the adrenaline cycle. But I get terribly nervous just before... Sorry, I'm turning turning into a main road here, which is why you hear the volume going up and down as I turn my head to check in this rush hour traffic for a gap. And of course, as I drove up, the road is empty, but there was one car coming, and that was enough to stick me in the middle of a traffic queue. Bugger. Anyway, this the adrenaline cycle. So before I go into a shoot, I'm always terrified. I'm always nervous. I'm always on edge. And then you get into the shoot and you take that first picture. It's the same when I go to a wedding. I knock on the hotel room door, wherever the bride's getting ready, and I take that first picture. And that first picture is like a drug. That first moment I hit the button, it's like some kind of morphine, and it just takes everything away. It takes all the pain away. And I am going to shoot and shoot and shoot. The trouble is, it's quite an addictive drug. So at the end of the shoot, I'm on a real high, closely followed by a real low, always. I'm always on the low because I'm worried about what I didn't take. I'm thinking of the things, the opportunities I missed. I'm thinking about the things I said that I shouldn't have. I talk really fast and I don't think quite so fast. And so, of course, all of these things go through my head. And of course, it's fine. You know, I've been doing this a very long time, and I do have now this sort of, I have a secondary drug, which is the conciliatory drug, the drug that makes it okay. I don't know what that is, but over years, I think it's just experience. I know it's going to be okay. I've done this long enough. However, of course, at the end of this training day, I went through exactly the same thing, and people looked quite sort of surprised that I would say that. Someone in our position where we have a big following, I have a big client base, I've been in it a long time, we've won numerous awards, and yet somehow I'm as scared of the shoot as when I began. The only difference is I have this secondary drug, this post-shoot drug of experience that helps me contain that sensation. But it's very much there. And as part of this whole thing, you do tend to find that you will be quite negative. And this is something else that's come out of the work we're doing with training and consulting and mentoring, is I tend to talk in the frame of, here's how you could improve something. Here's how I could improve something. It's not necessarily direct to anybody else. Sometimes it's just my pictures. Oh, I wish I'd done this. I wish I'd done that. However, in my head, actually, I'm a bit better than I sound, because I tend to sound negative, but actually, really what I should be saying, although I might be thinking it, is, that's amazing. It's been a good day. Imagine what we could do tomorrow. And you need to reframe your words and your language. I need to reframe my words and my language such that it's always about how well, how good something is. Yes, there are flaws. Of course, there are flaws. But think of what it could be if you weren't as good as you are. You know, yesterday you weren't as good. Today you're better. Tomorrow, think what you're going to do. And the best frame I found for this is to celebrate those images. We just love them. Look at that. Oh, that's amazing. Look at the expression. Look at the eyes. Look at the exposure. Look at the composition. I'm really enjoying this. I love this image. Imagine what I could do tomorrow. Be positive. Be driven. Platform tomorrow on the success of today. Don't platform tomorrow on the shortcomings of today. Celebrate how well you've done, and then do it again, but do it better. You know, it's a very, it's a much more positive, a much more open and energetic way of looking at things. And I caught myself midway through talking to someone and I laughed and said, that sounds really negative, doesn't it? This is actually what I'm thinking. That image is amazing. The image you've created is amazing. Just think what happens when you do these little bits and pieces over tomorrow, the day after that. The next time you're in this position, you think, do you know what? I know why that last image just had these things that I just wish it had something more energy. It was exposed slightly better. The composition was more interesting. The engagement with the client was a little bit more electric. You know, these are all the kind of conversations. And so I actually caught myself saying it, stopped myself and rephrased it the way I was actually thinking. It's something I was, you know, we all have our way of talking and sometimes it's not quite how you have it in your head. And so that was that point, you know, base tomorrow on today's success, not on today's failures. Celebrate today and just stride forward tomorrow. And then there's another thing. This came up on a podcast I was listening to yesterday. I've become an avid listener of podcasts. Of course I have. Never listened to a podcast in my life. Then I start doing them. And of course, what do? I start listening to podcasts everywhere. And one of the things that came up was about this thing that people do where they won't, for instance, launch their website until it's perfect. They won't show their portfolio until it's perfect. They won't pitch for something until their work is perfect. Well, I've got news for you guys. Your work is never going to be perfect. Trust me, after however many years I've been doing this, there are holes in everything. And holes you know about. They're not just minor defects. There are things you know damn well are wrong. You should have done it better. You could have done it better. You'll do it better next time. These are all really, they're always with you. It doesn't matter what stage you're at. Talk to any photographer, talk to any creative, to be honest. They will all tell you that their work isn't ready, it's not finished yet, they want to do it better tomorrow. However, if you're going to succeed as a business, and this is really about the business side of it more than anything else, if you're going to succeed as a business, you can't do that. You do not have the luxury of doing that unless you have, you know, $1 million investment fund somewhere or trust fund that somebody's given you and they just give you a couple of years to go sort yourself out. You do not have the luxury of perfection. You have the luxury of being as good as you are and you'll be better tomorrow. You have to launch. You can't wait for perfect. Perfect will never come. Perfect is a dream. Perfect is, you know, it's the holy grail that we all go looking for. But of course, it's missed. You can't catch it. You can't hold it. You can't contain it. You certainly can't create it. So all I'm saying is be very cautious of waiting until you're perfect. You're unlikely to get there. Be happy that you've got what you need and get it out there. And actually, to be honest, imperfections can help in the sense that you can start to get feedback from people. And instead of trying to boil the ocean and make everything perfect, what you can actually do is listen to the feedback and finish the bits or improve the bits that absolutely need to be done. So don't wait for perfect. Perfect ain't gonna happen. Right, and that's the end of this podcast. I'm just heading into High Wycombe. A couple of bits, so I've put these at the end this week, so feel free to turn off the podcast now. The rest of it is just bits and pieces about what's coming up and about mastering portrait photography. So don't forget, myself and Dave Stanbury are doing the Two Fellows workshop, which runs from the 22nd to the 29th of March next year. That's 2019. If you listen to this podcast in June 2019, if you're going back through the back catalogue, terribly sorry, you've missed it. You'll have to look up for new ones. I'm sure we'll be doing them. However, at this particular moment, September 2018, it's in the future. 22nd, 29th of March, 795, I think, is the early starter or early booking price. It's going to be 5 days of mayhem. Lots of laughter, all about social photography. Dave Stanbury is a wedding photographer. I am a portrait photographer, yet both of us actually do both. But when you talk to each of us individually, you'll find that we use slightly different language, slightly different outlook on the business, slightly different approaches to bits of the business, priorities, certainly, some techniques. We're gonna bring those two separate tracks together because nearly all social photographers do both weddings and portraits. And so we thought it'd be a lot of fun to bring the two together into one stunning location. This is Graffi Studios Castle in northern Italy, just near to Venice. It's about an hour from Venice. It's up in the mountains. It's absolutely gorgeous. We'll have a lot of fun. The location itself is beautiful. But we're just going to have a ball, tons and tons of chatting about portrait and wedding photography. It's being supported by Graffi Studio. Thank you to those guys. They're the guys that provide our albums, and they're amazing. Go and have a look at their stuff. The fees include 5 days of chaos, a couple of meals, big evening meals, going to have a couple of parties. Your daytime food is also included. What isn't included, of course, are your flights and your hotels, but we can help you with that. If you're interested, and we'd love you to be, then please email myself at studio@paulwilkinsonphotography.co.uk, studio@paulwilkinsonphotography.co.uk, and we'll give you more details. The second thing, which is actually a little bit more imminent, is that I'm going to be at the MPA Meet the Masters day, which is the precursor to their awards evening. Actually, it's a two-day thing. It goes Sunday, Monday, and the awards are on the Sunday night. I'm going to be presenting a couple of seminars, the first and the one that's just me on my Todd. I'll be sitting there with a computer. I'll be sitting there with a Wacom pen. I'll be sitting there with a series of questions, and I'll be doing fast and furious photoshopping for the portrait photographer. Now, why fast and furious? Well, actually, you don't need to know all of the in-depth techniques. I love in-depth techniques. What you really want, if you're a portrait photographer, are techniques that you can do like that. You want to be able to dip in, make the image just so much better, and then out again and onto the next. You don't have the luxury of a high-end retoucher. And now, trust me though, I love doing high-end retouching. I love it when I have a day ahead of me to just do a couple of images. Of course I do. That doesn't happen very often. That's not my job. My job is as a portrait photographer is reality, not synthetic art. Of course, I love the synthetic art. I love a high-end retouch, but this is not that. This is how to make the very best of your images, how to crack through them and yet still get that incredible effect you can, making the best of what you've shot, reducing defects where you've not spotted them. And we get asked, I mean, pretty much every single client I have will say, make me look younger, make me look more beautiful, make me look slimmer, whatever it is. Now, I'm not saying that we do that in Photoshop, but Photoshop is that final mile. It's that little bit of polish that says this is a proper piece of art. This is a proper portrait. Anyway, that is between 3 and 4 o'clock, I think I'm on, whichever room it's in, at Meet the Masters. I'm also going to be doing a live Q&A with James Musselwhite, another fellow of the MPA. He's fantastic. So this is all going on at the Master Photographers Association, the MPA, up in Darlington on the 7th of October. So yes, a Q&A, live Q&A, answering questions from the floor and generally barreling around, having a lot of fun with this wonderful art that is portrait photography. Both of us are portrait photographers. And then final bit is this, of course, I'm Paul Wilkinson, and I'm the key contributor to Mastering Portrait Photography. I'm the photographer part of Mastering Portrait Photography. And the final bit is that I'm Paul Wilkinson, the photographer behind MasteringPortraitPhotography.com, along with Matt, Sarah and Sarah. There's four of us working on the site, and the images all come from my camera. So if you fancy getting involved, there's forums, there are videos, there are written walkthroughs, there are technical diagrams. There's a very, very vibrant community building on this website. It's still in its very early stages, so early that I'm actually in the process of re-engineering parts of it, ready for launch number two, ready for the second version of it. But feel free to head over there. The podcast is there, as are so many more bits and pieces. And if you enjoy that, then we would love to have you join and become another member of our community. Lots of you have, actually. It's great. I love the fact that the podcast has brought people in. I set out doing a podcast for the sheer joy of it. I thought it'd be interesting. I've never done a podcast before. And after today's Land Rover journey, maybe some of you will say I should never do it again. Anyway, on that happy note, I am just pulling into High Wycombe. The lights are being kind to me. I'm going to be early. And I'm going to say, remember, be kind to yourselves. Take care.